Good to be worshiping with you all this morning. It's good to be together. It's good to just unite our hearts together as we, for the common goal of glorifying God and allowing Him to speak to our lives. It's a full house, and that's good. And as I was thinking about the full house, I was thinking of the various journeys that are happening right here this morning. I was thinking of the various experiences that have happened in the lives that are here this morning. How to think of, because of that, the various voices that are speaking to us and drawing and calling our attention. I have a message that it weighs on me. Do I really know what to say? Do I know how to present it? It came to mind different times. And then the other Sunday, I was discussing it with the message with somebody, and they brought this idea up. And then later on, someone else brought it to my attention. And I'm like, well, that'll be sometime down the road. And God seemed to open the doors here this Sunday. So I hope you can bear with me. I want to present it carefully. I want to present it correctly. I want it to be practical and understandable. Understood. And sometimes that may take a little bit of time, so I pray that you all can bear with me on that. I just simply titled it, Discerning the Voices. Discerning the Voices. Do you ever wonder, am I really hearing God? Or is it something else? How do I know I'm really following God's leading? Am I really emptied of self enough that God can speak to me? How to think of the word discernment. What does that mean? Discernment. It means to examine, to prove, to test, even to scrutinize. Really look into it deeply and look at all the angles. Look at what's underneath the layers. Look at what is really being said here. It's the idea to search it out. And so in our Christian experience, you search it out. You line it up with Scripture. Now, how to think of that verse out of Acts 17:11, you probably know it says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The idea that they heard things, and then they went back to the Scripture and said, is that really true? And they took what they heard and they searched the Bible and was like, okay, is that what the Bible is saying? We can hear all these voices, we think of all these thoughts, and we read all this information. What voice is really correct? I believe as Christians, as believers in God and His Word, we follow this definition and we take all this info that is coming into us and we search it out and we see what God's Word has to say. Another definition might be the ability to judge well. If you look at 1 John 4:1, and this is probably where this thought comes out of pretty regularly, is, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. The idea of trying has the idea to test the spirits, to make sure. The word test means to make sure that it is accurate. So how do we do that? What does that look like? I mean, you don't read in the Bible that thou shalt eat breakfast at 7 o'clock, or thou shalt go and drive a Ford, although I might lean heavy on that direction. Not everything that comes to us is spelled out in Scripture. I believe it's very important and it's critical to test the things that are going through our head, our mind, the things that is working in our hearts. It's very important and very critical because that's where the Holy Spirit works. Also, the evil force, Satan, he works at bringing things to us, bringing things, thoughts to us, bringing things into our way to try to get us thinking in a certain direction. And it's very important and very critical. I believe it starts by applying to our hearts and minds and lives God's word. It starts with that. Then I believe it also can follow up with honest seeking and honest questions. Not to just being honest, like, God, what does this mean? What is being said here? God, what does this look like? God does not mind. He's not afraid of honest questions and honest seeking. There was a phrase I came across that John Piper said. He said, discernment is how we follow God's leading through the process of spiritually sensitive application of biblical truth to the particularities of our situation. So just simply break it down. Is taking spiritual truth and applying it to specific situations in our lives. How does this work in the situation I'm going through? How does this work in this, what I'm facing right now, the decision I need to make? How does God's word apply? How do we break it down? And we say, well, the Bible says all kinds of big words and big phrases, and just simply take what it says and then allow the Holy Spirit to break it down in your life and how that works. And we'll look more at that. I believe it's important to know God's voice and his ways. We should long for that discerning spirit in our lives. God's thoughts and his plans are much higher and greater than ours. And it says that there in Isaiah 55, verse 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. So God is big and wonderful. We never will fully understand God, but he longs for us to search him out, to search his word out, so he can show us how to apply the particular his truth to the particular situations that we are facing. I want to look at just some sounds of the voices, some words of the voices that come to us, some sources that they come from. The enemy's voice, Satan's voice, it will contradict Scripture. I'll put that in one short phrase, and I said in there, don't sit back and relax. Because we look at that, okay, as long as it contradicts Scripture, well, good to go. That's going to be easy to discern, right? We all were raised with the Bible. We memorized lots of the Bible, right? So that'll be good. But remember, Satan knows that. And with his contradiction, he knows that we're not going to always just swallow that right up. So he's going to take that contradiction and he's going to wrap it all around with a bunch of truth. I thought about if I could have done it, was bringing like a fruit or something. It looks great on the outside, and it looks beautiful. And you're like, wow, that's a crisp, good apple. I'm going to take that. We're going to eat it. You bite into it. As soon as you get right into the center of it, it's rotten, dead rotten. And so often, that's how he's going to get us. And that's why it's so important that we have that discerning spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit, to help us to look beyond just what he's maybe saying, the colorful things on the outside, and look deep in. What is Satan's motive? How to think so often, how important it is that we see where it's twisted, where it's rotten. We can often say, well, okay, I'm a Christian. His grace is applied to my life. His blood is applied to my life. So I'm good. He'll overlook this one little area in my life. I can shade over here. I can hide this area over here as long as it's okay here. Okay, well, I'll stay married. That's fine. But I'm going to live as if I'm divorced. Or, okay, I won't go out and actually kill someone. I know that's wrong in here, but it's okay if I just harbor a little bit of hatred in my life. It's okay that if I just stay a little bit angry in this one area. See what I'm trying to say? We need that discerning spirit to see the whole way through of forgiveness, of love, of where wrong attitudes can go. So often I feel like we know the scripture good enough, but yet, so we cover the big things, but yet we totally miss out on that little area, that little seed that's starting to rot inside the apple. And it starts affecting. Well, we talked about that there in Sunday school, right? How that one vine can start affecting. And so it is in our own lives. That one little seed, if we let it there, if we don't allow God to take us the whole way through and discern the whole way. See, Satan don't care how he gets us. If he can't get us in the big way, he'll start getting us in the little way. And then he can start affecting our whole lives. And what happens is, if I live that way with my family, if I say I'll love my family as long as they do this and this and this, my attitude will start affecting the rest of the family. And so it is in the lives of the church. Think about Ananias and Sapphira. They did good the whole way up through, right? They said, we're going to sell the land. They did. That was fine. They said, okay, we're going to, they said, they're going to take this money. They're going to give it to the church. That's good, right? And it was even probably okay if they kept part of it for themselves. But they did not follow through and discern where Satan was going to trip them up. And they said, well, we're just going to simply make it look like we gave it all to the church. They did not discern that, where Satan was starting to come in there on that angle and trip them up, and it cost them their lives. That's why the discerning spirit, discerning the voices that are coming to us, is so very important. Also, the enemy's voice comes as a lion. If we look at 1 Peter, we can turn there, 1 Peter chapter 5. And then I'm going to also look at 2 Corinthians 11. So 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. Satan's voice can come as a roaring lion. Verses 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We see there at the first part of the verse is a good characteristic for being discerning. Be sober and be vigilant. Be alert. Be awake. Be sharp. Be discerning to see the whole way through what is actually being done, what is actually happening, what voice is actually speaking to you. But then it says that this devil is going to come as a roaring lion. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you can turn there a while, but that roaring lion, I had to think about that a little bit. Does Satan come to us as a roaring lion? Oftentimes, I heard this for many times over throughout the years, that the lion, I would never face a lion in the wild and never want to. But I heard that they, when they roar, obviously what do? Gone. So I heard a lot of times what they'll do, a lion will come at you, they'll roar at their prey, whatever animal or whatever, that object that they're roaring at will turn around and run the other way right into the one that's going to kill them. And I wonder, sometimes, can we do that in our own lives? Obviously, we don't always fall at what maybe the exact sin that the devil is roaring at us. But then do we react to it and run the other way into the other ditch? And I think that's, we need to be very, very careful about that. I heard over the years, like, you have these big colonies up north or whatever, They're like, they need to get away from all this sin. Sometimes I think that even that thought process can be through like nuns and stuff. They got to get away from all this sin. They got to be totally absent from any sin. They cannot interact with others because they cannot have that sin. And so they go into their own little circle, in their own little colony or whatever, and they live there. Satan still follows right there, and he gets them in the other ditch where they're not even following the whole scripture anymore because they're only individual. We can even do that at times. We don't want to interact with that sin. We don't want to go there, so we're going to isolate ourselves from anything that can harm us. That roar can make us react. That 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 14 is another voice. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I actually wanted to apply that back to the previous voice as far as how Satan wraps himself and makes it look good. Satan knows how to get our attention. He knows what voice to speak in, whether he has to wrap himself into an angel of light and make it look promising, make it look attractive, or whether he has to roar as a lion. That way we can react and run the other way. It's very important. Do we know what is coming at us? Satan's voice can come as first person singular. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. Where he gets and turns our focus on ourselves and makes us look at ourselves. I'm not good enough. His voice will always some way promote self. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, that story of Eve's temptation there, Genesis 3 verses 1 through 6 talks about that and lays it out exactly what Satan did there, how he got her to start focusing on self. And one of those ways that Satan comes to us is by questioning God's commandments. Did God really say that? Do you really believe that will really happen to you? And he lays that out there in Genesis 3. The serpent was very subtle, and Satan's voice is very subtle. He knows that he has to be subtle if he thinks that he can get someone to fall. And he says, yea, hath God said? Did God really mean that? God didn't really mean that. And then in verse 6, when he broke down and disintegrated and broke down the importance of God's command, he then knew that Eve would start seeing self, seeing the pleasure of the eye. And it says there, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took. I think it's very important. Do we know the voice that's coming to us? Do we recognize what is being said? Do we recognize that, hey, Satan is breaking down the value of God's commands? Hey, Satan, yes, it looks good to a point. We got to follow the whole way through. Will it follow through with the voice that is coming to us? Will it follow the whole way through and be consistent with Scripture? Remember, the enemy's voice will bring on negative and confusing thoughts. And along with that is going to be the wrong shame and fear and condemnation. I know many times in my journey of life, he didn't always come with that maybe negative thought. He didn't always come with that shameful thought, but he came with that attractiveness, that it looked pretty good. Yes, we can go this far, but we'll be able to stop. And then that shame that he just poured on, dumped on, and that fear and the condemnation. Our Father's voice. Our Father calls us by our name, son, daughter, child. Satan will call us by our shame. You worthless, You're no good. You can't do it. Your history shows it. Your future is going to prove it. It's useless. But God calls us by our name, son, daughter, child. The promise there we see in John 10:27, that we as a sheep will hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. God's voice has a way of being recognizable, and it's drawing. We will hear and be drawn to follow. In John 5:25, his voice brings life to us. His voice brings energy to us. His voice gives direction. John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I love that. I love that thought. He says the hour is now. He's talking about very presently when he was standing there. He's saying that the dead, spiritual dead, will hear, and there will be life given to those who hear his voice and follow it. A lot of times, even his voice will be a still, small voice. I had to think of Elijah. That's where I thought of that. After all the noise of the storm around us is quieted, we can hear his whisper. But do we allow God to quiet the storms around us so that we can hear it? I know there's numerous times, I think it was even this morning as I was sitting in the office, I had to just stop and be quiet a little bit. Just be quiet a little bit, because things want to just keep running through my head. And what is right, what is accurate, and you had to stop. Say, God, what are you saying? That God wants to calm the storms around us. After the fire, after the storm, after the earthquake, then Elijah heard the voice of God. May we ask God to quiet the storms of the enemy so we can hear his voice. The still small voice of the prompting of the heart, the sense of the pull in a certain direction of light. I don't know that I actually ever audibly heard God's voice, but a lot of times that's how it comes to me, is that prompting of the heart, that a sense that God is saying something. I don't feel at rest right now because something, I believe God is directing me in a certain direction. I had to think of my brother recently. He was went to look for at a truck, and him and his wife went to drive and to look at it. And I was talking to him on the way down, and he said he's not sure if he's really excited about it. He said earlier on he was really excited about it. This is what the right thing to do. And in the midst of the journey, anyways, until he got to going down, he lost some of that excitement for it. And I believe that you'll know. And we were talking, and he was describing that if it's thus and thus and thus, that he'll get it. So I talked to him later on, and he said that he got down there, a lot of what he was wanting to see was there, but there was some negative things. He said before he got there, he's at the point where he does not care either way. He said he's at the point that, he said, just simply pray that I will know what God wants me to do. Don't pray that I make sure I can get it or this or that. Make sure that I know what God wants me to do. So I asked him later on, I said, so why didn't you get it? And he gave some reasons why not. But he said he was there, him and his wife were just simply praying as they were looking at it. And they were standing at the front of the truck. And he said, when he's done praying, he said, I'm not going to take it. And he said, as soon as he made that decision, a peace flooded over his heart. Simply God's still small voice prompting him in the direction that he should go. And I sense that's a lot of times in our lives how God does work. That's why it's important to quiet the storms of the enemy around us. Say, God, quiet these voices. Quiet these things that keep coming at me, these things that keep running around me, so I can hear what you're trying to say. Another thing, at times, his voice is powerful and full of majesty. Psalms 29:4 talks about that, the voice of God. Yet for us as believers, and so we see that, and we say, full of power and majesty. That will almost seem scary. But I believe for us as believers that are trusting in a strong leader, God as our Father, being our leader, it doesn't need to be scary. I believe it can be, it can give us trust and confidence that God will be our leader. So if you see Psalms 29 verse 4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And I know that it happened different times throughout my life. Through maybe different seminars I've taken. I remember one time years ago, my wife and I were at a place getting a little bit of input in our lives. And God's voice spoke to us in a power and a majestic way that just brought freedom to my life, to her life. And it was drawing to us. It was rejuvenating for us to see that powerful voice of God and His majesty working in our lives. And through other seminars that we have taken already, where we've seen and heard and experienced the power and majesty of God's voice in our lives. Another thing is God's voice will bring conviction where needed with a heart of love, filled with hope and redemption. And it will always, always agree with Scripture, never contradicting it. Very and very important to realize today throughout our world, people say, I heard from God. Yes, it was God. But it goes directly against what the Bible says, His word to us. So it's very important that we realize that and keep that in our mind. It never contradicts. God's voice is full of truth. And it's in that truth where He's saying, you are set free. God's voice is a voice of order and peace. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 talks about that. How God's voice is a voice of order and peace. I wonder so often why that confusion comes, why that unrest comes. It's because of the other voice of the enemies trying to come in and contradict the voice of order and peace that He is trying to bring. So that's, there goes back to the point is why we need to quiet. Have God quiet the other voices around us so we know His order and His peace. 1 Corinthians 14, 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of confusion. So there I go again. Why is there confusion? It's because of the other voices that are trying to inject themselves into our thought processes. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches and the saints. Now, before I go on to our own voice, there is something that came across that it was just, I thought it was powerful. As you can think of the enemy's voice and the voice of God. God's voice will convict, but in love, whereas the enemy's voice will bring guilt and condemnation. God's voice will encourage and reassure, whereas the enemy's voice will discourage and frighten. God's voice will lead, guide, and still. The enemy will push and rush. God's voice will calm us. The enemy will obsess, will make us obsess and worry. God's voice will bring comfort. The enemy's voice will bring chaos and compromise. God's voice will bring clarity and confirmation. The enemy's voice will bring confusion. God's voice will bring Christ closer. The enemy's voice brings controlling spirits. Are we able to see through? Are we allowing God to put His Holy Spirit in us where we can discern what is coming our way? Just some thoughts, maybe our own thoughts or voices. This is probably one I would have struggled with a little bit. I believe we have our own voice that can come to us. And throughout the years, I was one that would struggle with second-guessing decisions. When things would get a little tough, a little hard, like, did I really make the right decision? Did I really follow God through? That would have happened a lot of times throughout my life. And someone told me one time, they said, "Do you believe you're a Christian?" I said, "Well, yes, I do." "Do you believe that God put his Holy Spirit in you to live in you?" "Yes, I want to believe that." "Then you need to trust that God will guide you when you're fully relying on him." And they're just simply saying, "God, direct our steps." We can make mistakes. And so I believe our own thoughts can come in at times. But I believe that if we are honestly laying it out, I know there's different times I would come to my wife and I said, "Did we really follow God in thus and thus area?" And we would talk about it a little bit. And I would say, I would come back to the fact that, you know what? I was honestly, seriously trying to follow God's leading. And we need to rest in that. We need to rest in that. Because life is not struggle-free, even when we're following God. But his strength is real. So our own voices can come maybe from the way we were raised, background, our personality, maybe our passions or trainings. We like this or we like that. We want to have that adventure or we want that freedom. Or our own voices can come through in those different ways, which in and of themselves might not always be bad, but they need to be discerned. Our own voice can come in a first-person place like I and me, and it can be self-focused. Like, can I be better than this situation? Or will it be pleasing to do this or that? Or can I gain through this decision? This is why it needs to be discerned and laid aside to be able to hear God's voice in the matter. But at the same time, God doesn't want to let things go to waste in our lives. He wants to heal the pain and the abused voices that may be coming from our past. And he wants to make those voices for good, those areas in our lives, through healing. Along with the raising in the background of personalities, he wants to use those things in our lives, those voices in our lives. And even at times, passions that we have, God can make them become a voice in our lives for good. Do you think God designed you with likes and dislikes to just simply throw them all away? Not always. I believe there is a place for them, but they need to be discerned and laid at his feet at the cross. God, what do you want with this? Now, I see time is slipping away, but I hope you can be patient with me, because I would like to just simply go through just several different steps here in assistance in discerning these voices. As we want to discern these voices that are coming to us. And the first one is studying scripture, I believe, enables discernment. I believe that alone time, that closet time, that time where it's just you, God, and his word, whatever that looks like to you, whatever that closet might look like, maybe it's a stump out in the woods, maybe it's a closet in your house where the door can be shut, maybe it's your office, maybe it's your alone time in the truck where you're just rolling down the road, just you and God and in his word. Very, very important. Why is it that the book we say we live by, the one that we say is most important and gives us direction, so often stays on the shelf and collects dust? Why is it at times I can come home from preaching a message and I put my Bible on the shelf? Boy, now I can go do some of my own things, right? It can happen at times. With God's help, it doesn't happen very often, but it can. Why is that? The book, we say that his word is a lamp on our feet, to our feet, and a light unto our path. We say it can discern the right voices so we can go the right path. We need that lamp and light in our hearts so we know what voice to follow. But yet it can just collect dust. If you want to turn to Jeremiah 29. God feels this way towards his people. And I believe there are certain qualifications for that. Jeremiah 29:11 through 14. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. God does think that way towards his people. God does think that way towards you here this morning. And he was longing for us to follow verse 12 and 13 and 14. Are we going and calling on him? Are we going and praying? Are we hearkening unto him? Are we seeking him so that we can be found of him with all our hearts? And he says, I will be found of you. And it goes on and talking about turning away our captivities and so on. God is longing to be found. He is longing for his voice to be recognized in our lives. In studying scripture to build that relationship that can assist us in discernment, I believe we need four things: love, discipline, prayer, and meditation. Four things: love, discipline, prayer, and meditation. As we search scripture so we can know his voice, so we can know his direction for our lives, so we can know and recognize who he is, I believe love, discipline, prayer, and meditation is very important so that we can be found of him. Love God's word so much more than just simply duty or checklist morning and evening. Okay, got that done this morning. Now I can go off and do my thing. Come home at work or whatever and, okay, got that done. Now we can go do my own thing. No, more than that, a love for God. Like the love, like David said in Psalms numerous times. I just wrote down two things. David said he delighted in God's word. He said also that God's word is sweet, sweeter than honey. And I like honey. I like applying that to different foods in my life. But David said God's word is sweeter than honey. Why is it we can so often just sit it on the shelf or we can maybe scan a verse and then it's done. We check the list off. Do we love God and his word more than just a duty or checklist? Discipline. And I say that because I saw the life of Jesus. He said he even needed to spend time with his father. He needed to know what his father wanted him to say. He needed to know the direction. He wanted to hear from his God. And so he went out early in the morning. I'm not a morning person, not naturally. And it's a little bit of a struggle to get up in the morning. And anyways, there's a lot of excuses that can come up when that alarm clock is ringing. But Jesus disciplined himself to rise early to go to his quiet spot. He even stayed up all night long communing with his Father. He even fasted to hear his Father's voice. Discipline in our lives. We need love. We need discipline. We need prayer. It's in the prayer time that God can move to quiet the enemy's voices and our Father's voice can become more prominent. It's in the prayer time we can lay our struggles, talk of our situations, and in praying over the scriptures that we read, the voice that we hear can become more understandable, clear. That's God's voice. As we read it, pray over it, spend time with him. Meditation, I believe, is very important. We're not just talking about yoga. That's harmful to our spiritual life. Yoga is about just clearing all your mind and laying everything in that so your mind's in neutral and anything can come in. Meditation is about coming quiet before God, filling our hearts and our minds with Scripture, and his Holy Spirit can work and move, and we can know God's voice and follow God's voice. That's something I think is very important. I would say that's something I can probably struggle with at times, is we're taking that time, and I remember very clearly when you brought that message, Glenford, there a while back about meditation. It's so important of stopping everything and lying and just reading over Scripture, maybe reading over one verse several times and filling our hearts and minds with his word so his Holy Spirit can help us discern the voices that are coming towards us. In quiet meditation, God can calm the storm of the enemy's voices to let us hear his loving whispers. There are many things, many different voices calling us, trying to get it for our attention. We need to train ourselves to hear God's voice so we can soak our hearts. So we need to soak our hearts and our minds with His Word. Matthew 5, verse 6 talks about that. And Psalms 119, verse 11. The blessing there that comes, and we do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we'll be filled. We must desire it above all else, so we won't follow the wrong voices that are coming to us. Psalms 119, verse 11. That word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Very important that we hide God's word in our hearts. Our interactions and relationships, I believe, is very important in enabling us with others. That enables us to be able to have discernment. If we look at Proverbs 11, very important verse. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I believe our interactions and relationships with others are important. I believe as we interact with each other in the body of believers, you can look at the brother beside you and you can say, you're important. I need you in my life. I need your voice in my life. We can, you sisters can do the same thing. You can look at the one beside you and say, you are very important. I need you in my life. I need your counsel, your input in my life. And in Ephesians 4, verse 12, another very important verse, and I believe that's why this point is very important in assisting in discernment. Ephesians 4, verse 12. This here talks about the different gifts here in this scripture, in this passage here, and they are important, and I believe they were discussed in Sunday school class a little bit, but why is it important for an enabling discernment? And in verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for making or helping us to be more perfect in God's eyes, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Our interactions with each other is important so we can know better, enabling us to discern God's voice in our lives. We are members of one body of Christ. God has placed solid people all around you. And you can look at the brother beside you and say, thanks for being solid. Thanks for being firm in this area of your life, because that is in helping me to stand strong. Vice versa, on the lady's side. We need solid people around us in our lives to help us, to speak into our lives so we can discern what is happening there. We are not placed in this life to be a lone ranger. We're not lone rangers, okay? We sometimes maybe like our quiet time, we like our alone time, but it is very important that we interact with others. We need to be recognized that we are part of the multitude of counselors, as it says there in Proverbs chapter 11. We are part, you're part of the multitude of counselors. You are, you're not here to be by yourselves. You have something to offer to somebody else as they walk this journey and as they try to sort out what is happening in their hearts and in their minds. We are being a part of each other's lives, serving as teachers, encouragers, helpers, mentors, and holding each other accountable and hearing and following God's voice. Now, the church is ordained of God for this purpose, as mentioned there in Ephesians 4. I want to be very clear when I come out on this, okay? Please do not take me wrong on this next thing that I'm going to say. As vitally as important as I believe the church should be in our Christian experience, neither do I believe that the church should take the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay? Do you follow what I'm saying? God, the church is ordained by God, and God works through the church. God speaks through lives, but it should not take the place of the Holy Spirit that is working in our individual lives. We alone will stand before God and judge for what we do. We aren't going to stand there and say, well, the church said to do this, and so I did it. God says, I spoke to you personally on this. You have my word. I want to say a little bit more about that. You can be so committed to a church group that you can't hear what God is saying for you to do. And yet, on the other hand, you can be so individualistic that you can't hear what God is saying through the church to you. Okay? Speaking through the voice of the church and can't help to keep you balanced in discerning what God is saying. I believe we in a church should be assisting each other in being able to hear the voice of God in our lives. Okay? As I thought about the marriage relationship. My spouse should never take the place of the Holy Spirit and its working in my life. If in our marriage relationship, if either one of us is following the other person and instead of following what God is asking, then it's wrong. And I thought about this because years and years ago, an older bishop told me, he said, over the years, he has seen that people became so committed to a church group that because they were taught to listen to the group, be committed there and just, you know, that they're your counselors, that they follow the group right out the door of Christianity. That can happen. So, remember, that it's as we as individuals in our own personal lives keep our hearts connected with God, then the church body can stay healthy. So, as the families are, so is the church, right? So as we as individuals are in our own lives staying connected with God, I believe that when we do gather as a body of believers, as a church, then we can be a multitude of counselors that can speak into each other's lives. And we can hear the voice of God that is speaking to us in assisting each other, mentoring each other, caring for each other, speaking in each other's lives to help each other know God's voice. God ordained a church. He has it there for the reason of Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But we are human, and there are places and times where humans fail. So that's why it's important that we work together in maintaining our own relationship with God in our own hearts, so that when we do come together as a multitude of counselors, we can stay healthy and effective and building in the kingdom of God. Let's stay committed and connected to the church of Christ. So if at one place or time or another where a church group could start apostatizing, we are aware of that and we are sensitive to that and not follow the church group out the door of Christianity. But then on the other hand, let's not be so individualistic that God is trying to speak to us through a brother or a sister, and no, it's my way. We don't hear God speaking. I do not want anybody to go from here saying, oh, Dan says that we need to just stay connected with God alone. No, we need the body, but we also need the Holy Spirit speaking in our own individual lives. We need to be asking God for discernment. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. 1 Kings 3:9. Solomon saw the importance of having a discerning spirit. He said, therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Do we realize that each one of us is God's child? And we need to be able to have the discerning spirit of what is really being said to us. Are we asking God to show us, help us? Are we able to hear his voice, or are we assuming his way that seemeth right unto us? See, Solomon could have said, well, I'm assuming that God would say this and this and this, so this is how I'm going to judge the people. He could have said, okay, well, I assume that this baby is yours, so the dead one's yours. No, he said, God, I need the discerning spirit, the understanding heart, because these people are yours, God, and I want to handle them carefully and correctly. He didn't say, so are we asking God to show us, help us, hear his voice, or are we assuming his way that seemeth right unto us? Are we asking for God's template, or are we going off our own desires? I believe in asking God, we need to be trusting him. And trust is very important as we come to God and ask to hear his voice and to know God's will. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean on to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. I believe in asking God, we need to ask for a sound mind. If you turn to 2 Timothy 1, 7, 2 Timothy 1, 7 talks about that sound mind, but there are some things that needed to be deleted in that mind so it can be a sound and healthy mind. And I believe that's very important in discerning that we delete those things, maybe those painful things in the past, those areas that we were wrong, the wounds that we received, they need to be deleted and forgiven and dealt with. So we have that sound mind that is talking about there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That spirit of fear needs to go. That unhealthy fear needs to be dealt with so that power and that love can come in and give us a sound mind. A sound mind needs to be free of unhealthy fear so God's power and love can come and give us ability and assist us in discernment. We want to look up another verse here in Psalms 24, verse 4 and 5. Psalms 25, verses 4 and 5. I believe this is a pattern here. I believe in asking God for a discerning heart, a discerning spirit. And I believe it also shows the idea and the need for surrender and submission. It's just very important in being able to discern the voices that are coming to us. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. David was just giving up his life to God, coming to a place of a neutral ground, saying, God, I want your voice, and help me to know all the other wrong voices so I can dispel them and get rid of them. He said, show me thy ways, Psalms 24. Show me thy ways. Like, God, what is right and wrong? Teach me your path. Show me, God, the path that you want me to walk in. Then he says, lead me in thy truth. Get me right into your truth, and then lead me in that truth so I can walk securely without tripping and falling. And teach me. Do we have that teachable spirit? And I believe that's one thing that will hinder the discerning spirit in our lives if we do not have that teachable spirit. So I believe it. We need God to show us, teach us, lead us. But then I believe we need to just be willing to surrender our will and our way and our desires up to him. God, take my will and desires. I don't need it a certain way, but I want your way. Make it clear what your voice is saying to me. In closing, God is faithful and will always show up in the right time. And I love the verses there out of Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and 12. I believe I read them earlier, but I just want to close with that. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. When the voices are piling up around us, things are pouring in, sometimes we want to scream, like, God, where are you? But God is thinking these thoughts towards you, towards us here this morning. He wants peace. He wants to give you a promise, an expected, an intentional end. Let's call on him, and he will hearken to us. God bless you as you walk through life.